Looking at a Christmas series, all the different reasons why God sent Jesus, and I want to finish that up this morning. The first week we talked about the fact that God sent Jesus to fulfill the law and the prophets. And we recognize that there's more than 200 different prophecies that are all of them, written centuries and millenniums. Some of those prophecies about Jesus before he came, and all 200 of them were fulfilled in Christ, and the miracle that any one person could fulfill all of those prophecies in the Old Testament. Then the second week, we talked about the fact that Jesus came to reveal to us the Father. And we talked about the fact that you and I would have a very warped idea of God if Jesus hadn't come. If we didn't have the New Testament and we didn't have Jesus, you and I, we probably would think of God the Father like the Pharisees and Sadducees did. We probably wouldn't have a very good concept of who God is. But because God sent Jesus, he revealed to us, because if you know Jesus, you know God the Father. They're one and the same. And we get a much better picture of who Jesus or who God is because we've come to know Jesus. And then last week we talked about the fact that he came to save us from our sins. And one of the things that Christmas ought to do for us then is to remind us that we need to take sin seriously and we need to wrestle with it and let God forgive us for our sin, but also save us from it and make a difference in our lives. So this morning I want to finish the series. I don't know that it's ever really finished because there's lots of reasons why God sent Jesus at Christmas that I will never get around to preaching on. But the final point that I want to make this morning is that God sent Jesus to set an example for us. Now, when I was growing up in school, and learning to write first, and then later cursive. They always gave you a piece of paper, and it had the whole letter in bold, big print, and then it would have the dotted letter, and then down at the bottom, you were supposed to be able to do it by yourself. I never was very good once I got to the very bottom. But that was the style. And you know what? My kids had the very same experience learning to write. And we still do some here at the school that way. But I see on Facebook that they actually have paper now that is indented. And so kids learn to write, and the dent helps them follow along as they make those letters. And I think, well, that'd be pretty neat. I've thought about that for grandchildren, that kind of thing. But anyway, there is a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 that says, that to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. And the Greek word for example there is this wonderful word that talks about learning to write letters from an example where it's already there for you and you just trace it. And First Peter is saying Jesus has come to us and he is the model. If you want to know how to do it right, if you want to know how to live right, he is that perfect model that you need to trace him, need to follow him. So this verse is found in 1 Peter, which, by the way, that's going to be my next series when we get there in January. But this is found in 1 Peter, and it's written to Christians who had a rough life. They were slaves. And Peter was telling them to submit themselves to their earthly masters following the example of Christ. Christ submitted to the Roman authorities. He submitted to all kinds of authorities, and who was he? He was God, King of the universe, and yet he submitted to his own crucifixion and all of that. Well, this advice is very specific to that, and yet it has value to us generally. Whatever the circumstance and whatever situation you and I find ourselves in, we need to follow the example that Jesus has set. He's got an imprint that is just perfect. And if you and I will try to make that our goal, to follow, to imitate, to follow the example of Jesus, we would do so much better off in life. John Maxwell says in leadership, a pint of example equals a gallon of advice. And we've all, you know, found that there's advice out there. But, you know, sometimes somebody can tell me how to do something, but a YouTube video just goes a little further. It helps me along more than just the advice, because I've got an example that I can watch, I can see, and all of that. It's one thing to get advice. It's another thing to have it modeled for us. And Jesus is that model. How do you and I live? We go back, and we go back to Jesus. And part of the reason we need to go back to him is because we are required to live as Jesus lived. If we are his people, that's what's expected of us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Wow. If we claim to live in him, we must live as he lived. So some decades ago, we came up with what would Jesus do, and we had bracelets that we wore, and they were quite the rage. What would Jesus do? It's a great question for us to ask in whatever situation we find ourselves in, and there's really no one better to set an example for how to deal with life as life comes at us than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of good examples out there for all kinds of things, but why should you pattern your life after a good example when there's a perfect example? You know, one of the things they teach us in piano is that you have to be careful of not drilling wrong. You know, if I play something wrong and I just keep playing it because I'm practicing for my next lesson, and I practice wrong all week, it's ingrained then in my brain. And so you want to practice right. So the question is, why would we want some other example on how to live other than Jesus, who does it perfectly? John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. He is an example that is just full of light. Now, what are those primary ways in which Jesus set an example? Now, again, there's all kinds of examples of ways that Jesus set an example. I'm just going to try to cover seven this morning. And number one is he had just compassion for the people that he encountered. He had compassion for them, for the hurting and for the crowds. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now that's in the context of Jesus looking around, and he says to his disciples after this, he says, man, the harvest is plentiful. There's all kinds of need out here. But there's not enough workers. The workers are few. And Jesus just looks around, and Jesus sees around us and the people we encounter needs that a lot of times we're too busy to see. And Jesus set that example. He looked around and he saw all the needs. When he saw the crowds, he was able to see the need, and he had compassion on them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, when Jesus landed, He'd been on the Sea of Galilee. He landed and he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he just started healing their sick. And then a little bit later there in Matthew chapter 14, he's been healing people and people have been bringing sick people to him and he's been healing them, touching them and teaching them. And then he says to his disciples, man, these people have been here a long time. They're hungry. We need to do something about that. And he sees that need and he feeds the 5,000 men plus women and children. And then in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 32, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. And then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. Now, if that had been us, we'd have been really complaining. I know I would have been. But these people have been with Jesus for 3 days, but they were so engrossed in what Jesus was doing and getting healed and all of that. And he says to his disciples, I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. He's thinking, he's got compassion, he's got feelers out for these people. And that's when he feeds the 4,000 plus men and women, plus women and children. And then in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, another verse where it says two blind men are coming to Jesus here. And they're chasing after Jesus and the disciples are chasing, go away, leave him alone. He's got better things to do, you know. And it says Jesus had compassion on them. And he touched their eyes and immediately they received his sight and they began to follow him. Well, the first thing that Jesus sets an example for us in is that his eyes are open. And he sees the needs of people and he has compassion on people. The second thing that we see in Jesus where he sets an example for us is his just pure obedience to God, the Father. It doesn't matter what God asks him to do, he's going to do it. That's who he is. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Now, every one of us is created by God. Every one of us. We didn't design our own birth. And every one of us is created by God. Every one of us was given particular gifts and talents and abilities by God, and he's the one that sent us. So are we doing what he wants us to do with our lives? Have we come to do our own will, or are we doing his will? And so often I catch myself in that bind where I'm doing Adrian Timmons' will instead of his will. And we have to think about that. Jesus set the example. He just always did what the Father sent him to do. Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7, says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission, his willingness to obey God regardless of what it cost him before his crucifixion. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. So there again, we see Jesus just being completely obedient to the Father. And then Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." So he has set the example, and he calls each one of us to order our lives so that we are doing what God wired each one of us to do. The third thing that I want you to notice about Jesus setting an example is that Jesus was always, here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was a servant who was humble. Jesus always set the example of humility. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." If anyone should have been served, it would have been him. But he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, he says, "Not that I, your Lord and teacher, have now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So there's humility again. Philippians chapter 2, those verses that we know so well. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility consider others better than yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude in you that Christ Jesus had, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus always set an example of humility and not arrogance or pride. Another thing that Jesus did that we probably ought to take to heart, and that is Jesus, in the midst of all the crowds pressing upon him and obligation and need and people that, you know, they wanted to get to Jesus. And how many times did we read in the Gospels where he'd arrived somewhere and the crowds had beat him there? They'd heard he was coming and they were there. They were always pressing. There was always more need for Jesus than there was of Jesus. And yet, Jesus took time to pray and to rest and to restore himself. And we can get so busy in our lives doing all the things that are needed that we don't take care of ourselves so that we can do what God has called us to do. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He was with people all the time. I almost get the impression that he might have been just a little bit of an introvert and needed some time alone. Because often he would go away to a solitary place and just let God restore him. So what are you doing with your life where you are so busy and the needs and the requests of the people around you just keep you busy all the time, and you're not taking time to lift things up to God in prayer? You're not taking time to restore yourself. And this is the sermon I wish I'd have heard every week for a lot of years of my life. You know, Jesus, in spite of all the need around him, took care of himself. And he remembered that he could do nothing apart from the Father, and so he prayed. I'm still learning that one, doing much more of that here than anywhere else I've been in ministry. But there are some things you and I will never accomplish if we don't let God do it through us. Pray, rest, restore. The fifth thing that Jesus sets an example for us in is sacrificial love. He just, more than compassion, which is just reaching out and ministering to the needs of people around us, there was sacrificial love. And Jesus modeled that. Jesus taught that. He said, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. That twofold purpose, Jesus just was an example of all the time in his life. You go throughout all the Gospels and you see Jesus loving God and loving the people around him. And if you and I can follow that example, we would be wise. John chapter 15, starting at verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. God has called each one of us a friend. That's an amazing statement in itself. Jesus calls you friend. He calls me friend. And he demonstrated that by laying down on the cross for our sins. That kind of sacrificial love Jesus modeled and he lived. The next one that Jesus modeled so well is the act of forgiveness. And I want to say this because every one of us has to deal with this issue. We all feel it. There's times when we just have to forgive. And we don't forgive primarily for the sake of the other person. We forgive for our own sake. Because holding a grudge, holding bitterness and resentment and all that stuff, it's a cancer that destroys us. And so we need to forgive for our own sake. And move on. That doesn't mean that we don't hold people accountable and there's not consequences, but we could be free inside. God, and Jesus was able to forgive. Look at this, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times do I have to put up with my brother who sinned against me? How many times should I forgive him? How about seven times? That seems generous. And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but try 77, Peter. You can't live with bitterness and grudges and all of that stuff. It will eat you alive. Forgive. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And then Luke chapter 23 and 34, Jesus said, Father, as he's hanging on the cross, you know, he's been through all the torture and the trial and the whipping and all of that, and he's been strung up there on the cross, and they've nailed the nails through his hands and through his feet, and then they just picked up the cross and dropped him in the hole, and the thud of the weight. And he looks down from that cross, and I would not have been saying this, but Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The last thing that Jesus did that really sets an example for us is that Jesus lived on purpose. Jesus lived on purpose. Jesus was in Capernaum, kind of a hometown place for him, is where Peter lived, and he spent a considerable amount of time there. And the people at Capernaum, they were getting healed, and good things were happening, and they loved listening to Jesus teach, and they just wanted Jesus to stay there and be his, be theirs. They wanted to make Jesus their own, and they didn't really want to share him. And the disciples thought, well, that's a good plan. We ought to just stay here, and this seemed like a good place to focus. And Jesus replied and said, let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. You see, Jesus knew what his purpose in life was. He knew why he was there, and that dictated every other decision he made in his life. He knew what his mission was. I want to say to us today, it helps us to know what God's mission for us is. What does he want to do in your life, through your life, with the gifts and the abilities and the relationships that you have? How does God want to use you? And it's going to be different from every other person in this room. It's going to be different from me. And I'm going to be different from all of you. You know, God has wired and designed each one of us differently, and he has a purpose for each one of us. And to know that purpose and to use that purpose, Jesus knew what his purpose was, and he lived on it. Zacchaeus chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus. Chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came. The Pharisees were criticizing him, you know, because Jesus had gone to dinner with Zacchaeus, and, you know, they just couldn't stand that. And Jesus just looked at him and said, well, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Not the healthy, not the people you want me to reach, not the people you want me to hang around. That's not my purpose. That's not my mission. Jesus knew what his purpose was. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then John chapter 17, Jesus is there at the end, the last week of his life. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all of us before he's going through that last week. And Jesus said this. He looked up towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all you have given to him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what his work was. And he also knew when it was over. He knew when it was, the time had come. But he got to the last week of his life and he said, I'm finished. I've done what God wanted me to do. Know your purpose. Know the stage of your life. Know what God wants to do in you and through you. And just live out your life on purpose. Well, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He came to reveal the Father so that you and I would know God in a way we would never have known God without Jesus. He came to save us from our sins. He came to set an example in how to live life. And he is that perfect example. You and I just need to keep going back to Jesus. What would Jesus do? How did Jesus live? So I ask you, as we head into 2026, what is the area where you most need help from God in following his example? I just ask God, help me in this area. Is it compassion? Is it just obedience? Is it in humility and service? Is it in learning to find time and dedicate time to prayer and rest and restoration? Is it in sacrificial love, being just willing to lay down your life for someone else? Is it in forgiveness? Or is it in living on purpose? Let's pray. Father, there are so many wonderful reasons you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And we just give you thanks and praise for each one of those. Today we want to come before you and we want to confess that you are the perfect role model, the perfect example for how to live life. That you have set an example before us. And Father, there's these seven things that we've talked about today and so many other ways that you have set an example for us. But I just ask, oh God, that you would help us to identify those areas in our own life where you want to do a new work in us, a fresh work, that you want to come along beside us and help us to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ more clearly in this coming year. For some of us, that's going to be a struggle for a while as we adapt and make changes and as we fall or stumble some in that process, but we don't give up. We don't quit. We just keep at it, and you keep at it, for you are doing a good work in each one of us. You're doing a good work in the lives of these people. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us in this coming year to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imprint that example on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.